And now, sports and other stuff. The Closers. Join the talk now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
The team that without a doubt gets a Sweet 16 regardless of if they host or not.
Play good defense, rebound the basketball, and try to run really fast and push tempo.
They've got one of the fastest paces in the country.
Definitely going to be a road game, so one thing we got to do is just defend, rebound, take care of the ball.
At the end of the day, we got to go in there and control what we can and just go out there and hoop.
It's about just being who we are, do what we do the best, and try to do that the best we can against a very, very good basketball team.
A lot of the times, like, and this is what Kevin Martin has alluded to at times that frustrated him with this team, is that the turnovers aren't forced turnovers, they're unforced turnovers.
Brodziak in front, a shot, they score! Patrick Berglund, and the Blues a two-goal lead again. What a goal by Berglund!
You know, our fans have been number one in attendance for the past 4 years, and for the past 4 years, we've been in one place in which they could drive. And I'm not running, you know, from being in a UConn bracket, but
I took it as another game, and I just wanted to win, and we did a hell of a job.
It's fun to come to a Rockets game.
Five to shoot. Dameless at the clock. He takes the near side three. Yes, sir!
I'm really proud of our guys. I thought we fought and competed our tail off and try to control the things that we can control.
And welcome in. It's hour number two of the Closers here for a Tuesday afternoon alongside Jay Sparks. I'm George Young. Opening montage, Missouri women's basketball. You had the ESPN announcement. You had Missouri as a 5 seed, and then the announcement got cut off by all the cheering. Darn them. So you didn't get to hear the opponent, Florida Gulf Coast University. Out of, oddly enough, Florida. Cameron Teague on the potential run for this Missouri Tiger women's basketball team. Possibly Sweet 16, he thinks. And then the never-ending effort to not offend people but still fill out your obligation in the press conference. Derek Kellogg, Mike Jones, Jalen Adams, Aaron Holiday, and Steve Alford from LIU, Radford, St. Bonaventure, and UCLA. Missouri men's basketball. Cameron Teague on what Missouri needs to do. Take care of the basketball. Defend. You know.
Score more points in their team.
Ooh, outside the box thinking there. let's see, St. Louis Blues, Fox Sports Midwest. Blues doubled up the Ducks last night. Head coach Don Staley, not running from the Connecticut bracket, but still complaining about it. Spectrum Sports, Isaiah Thomas, AT&T Sportsnet, Houston. We didn't have the three-point call, but it's fun to go to a Houston Rockets game. Damian Lillard with a three-ball, and Dave Yeager. All the positives coming out of a loss. That generally means things aren't going well for you if that is where you are. Jarrett Sutton, SEC Network, joining us now. Got your bracket filled up?
Bracket filled out. I'm ready to roll.
Who's your national champion?
I got Duke winning it all.
All right, good talk.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
The Dukies, huh?
It was either Duke or Michigan State. The winner is in the Sweet 16 game in the Midwest. That's my national champion.
Okay. All right. Who's the team as you look at this bracket, and we'll get to the women here in a second after you get this question out. In the men's bracket, who's the team that has the potential for the most surprise?
I think there's a couple teams, honestly, in this tournament that I like. I think there's some first-round upsets out there. I think Loyola Chicago is going to beat Miami. I have them as an upset. I have South Dakota State over Ohio State as an upset as well. So I got a couple upsets scattered in there. As far as making a run, I like Texas Tech or Wichita State out of the East. I think Wichita State has a lot of depth. I also like Texas Tech. I know they didn't really close the regular season and the conference slate into the conference tournament all that well, but they got a lot of firepower. Keenan Evans, they got young players. Jarrett Culver's a good scorer. I kind of like them to maybe pull an upset against Villanova, but I ultimately have Villanova in my Final Four, but would not be surprised to see a Texas Tech or a Wichita State Tech team get out of the East and make it to the Final Four. Mm.
Would Virginia and Villanova be part of the best-dressed head coach college for Final Four?
Oh, absolutely. I always look at it this way. If Villanova faces, let's say, West Virginia, you're either pulling for a suit or a pullover. It's just whichever one you want to go with.
Jay's fist shaking out. Which one are you going for?
Oh, pullover. Okay. I'm going for that. I'm going for that Puma tracksuit every day.
Easy on, easy off. You going to work or going to bed? Yes.
Yes.
Jarrett Sutton, SEC Network with us. All right, let's hit the women here this segment, and then we'll really dive deep into the NCAA tournament for the men because that actually opens up tonight with the first four. The women's announcement was yesterday. The four number one seeds. I don't think it was a huge surprise that UConn was the overall number one seed. Mississippi State, first time ever getting one out of the SEC. Louisville, first time ever getting theirs. And Notre Dame, Muffet McGraw and company fighting through just a ton of injuries. I think they had more ACL people that were hurt than they actually had guards that were starting during the course of any particular game. So of the four ones, who does not make the final four for the ladies?
I would say if you look at how the bracket shakes out, I like Mississippi State. Obviously, I like UConn. I'm going to give the edge to Notre Dame over Louisville.
Okay.
So I think Louisville will be the first one.
And because that, as I was looking at that Lexington bracket, the more I would look at that Lexington bracket, if Missouri had to go on the road for an NCAA tournament, that was probably the best bracket that they could have gotten to. Because while it's tough, it's not one that's not out of the question that they could advance out as a five seed. Are you surprised not only that they got the five seed, but that they were sent out 1,900 miles away to go play that first set of rounds?
Yeah, it was a little bit surprising to me. I think getting the five seed was a little bit of a knock because all along I thought they were a top 16, that they could slip into that 1-4 round and be able to host. I think, getting beat how they got beat to Georgia and not necessarily playing all that well in the SEC tournament. I think just that lone loss to Georgia, I don't think that should knock you off too far off. The projection of being at least staying close to your market if you're in that five spot. So yeah, getting sent out to the Stanford side was a little bit surprising, but I do like their draw. I do like how they match up. Florida Gulf Coast is a 30-win team, though, mm-hmm. and that's no joke. So they got their hands full, but I do like where they're at, and I think they could get past this first weekend. I like them getting to the Sweet 16. I've always thought that this is the year that they could get past the first weekend and really make some damage getting into that Sweet 16 and possibly the Elite Eight.
Okay, how much of this is dependent upon the reputation not leading the way for Missouri of being a tough, aggressive, physical team that the officials have to watch out for?
I think that has something to do with it. I don't think it's the end-all, be-all. I think for Missouri, they can't worry about officiating at this point. I know that's somewhat in the back of your mind, but they have to go play their brand of basketball. And after scoring 41 points against Georgia, that gives you a bad taste in your mouth. Mm-hmm. And, they had one player in double figures in that game. It didn't really play well at all. I think it was one of their worst game of the season, and you have arguably one of the worst times of the season getting in to the conference tournament, and then you got the NCAA tournament to follow, and you got a bunch of time to think about that one. That can be good and bad. So I think for them, it's just refocusing the new season now. That's all done. All you have is what's in front of you. You control your own destiny. You've worked this hard. You've had the body of work, and now it's time to go. They're full strength. They're fully healthy. And I fully anticipate Robin Pitch will have her team ready to go. I think it's a refocus. They finally had a good amount of time to recharge, get back on the same page, and really attack this NCAA tournament with a full head of steam.
Jarrett, you talked about Louisville might be the first number one seed to get out. Is there a region that looks the most chalk? And if that's the case, then, is Missouri glad they're not in it if it's not the Lexington region?
I'm glad they're not in the UConn bracket, honestly. Number one, I would not want to be in the South Carolina side as well. I mean, that would have been difficult, not just from UConn's standpoint, but you got South Carolina there, and I would like to get away from them, honestly. I'm sure they would tell you that they want another crack at them. Mm-hmm. But, you're in a different side of the bracket now, and I think you can fully focus on yourself. You don't you look up and down. Your bracket, I mean, Tennessee's in there, so you have some success there. Every other team, I like Missouri's chances. I'm glad they're not in that Albany region, and I like where they're at. I think if you'd like to see them possibly get into the Kansas City side, but again, I'm glad we're not facing Texas, Mississippi State, or UCLA. So I like that they're in the Lexington side, and I fully anticipate that they'll play well, and they got the matchups they wanted.
Jarrett Sutton, SEC Network, with us here on The Closer. You can follow him on Twitter, @JarrettTSutton. Is Dawn Staley right to be upset that South Carolina got shipped off to after they host out to Albany?
No, not at all. I mean, I think I was listening to that press conference, that piece right before we jumped on. I mean, there's nothing to really, I think, complain about. You know, you're a two seed. Yeah, I think just the fact that she said she's not running from the UConn bracket makes me think she's running from the UConn bracket when she says that. So, I think they were placed right. I mean, I look at Oregon and Texas and Baylor. I mean, those are really good teams right up there. I think that she thought that, obviously, with the Mississippi State being the one seed and the SEC having a little bit more pull, that maybe they could have been a two and a different side of the bracket. And I think ultimately they just didn't want to face UConn. And I think that, to me, is says a lot, because I would be saying the same thing. I would try to find any way to get out of that UConn side of the bracket, and here they are, and now they got a tough test ahead to try to get to Columbus.
Yeah, last three meetings, 0-3, total margin defeat, 48 points, include that 25-point beatdown this year at South Carolina for the Lady Gamecocks against Gina Auriemma's UConn Huskies. They are the chalk pick, and I know last year Mississippi State upset UConn to get to the championship game. Is there an upset brewing out there that would make everybody go, man, I remember that 2018 NCAA Women's Tournament when that happened?
I would honestly say, if you look at the different sides of the bracket, maybe if you go into that 8-9 in Spokane, a Villanova team, that might be an upset waiting to happen. I'm always thinking along the lines of anywhere between 6 and 12. So even like Oregon State, that's a team that might slip up. I like Creighton in that Los Angeles side, getting to Kansas City. That could be a possible upset too. So there's some good teams in this tournament. It's not just top heavy. There's some good teams right in the middle of that. I mean, Missouri is a 5 seed, and Missouri is really a good team, and they have one of the best players in college basketball. So you look anywhere from 6 through 11, right in between there, maybe even on the 8 line, you could see an upset. And I think the top, UConn, is the favorite. I think Mississippi State's in that conversation too. But there are some good teams that can make a nice run in this tournament.
All right, Jared Sutton, SEC Network, with us here on the Closers.
Jared, I mean, the women's side especially is not known for a lot of Cinderellas, especially deep into this tournament. You know, is there a team out there, you know, 3, 4, 5 or below that you think could make some noise? I mean, obviously we've talked a lot about Mizzou, but outside of Mizzou, maybe, is there a team out there who you think could spoil somebody's party?
I like the 2 seeds, honestly. I like Texas and Baylor out of the Big 12. Those teams are good. They could make a run and get into Columbus, have a chance to get to that national championship. I mean, ultimately, I think UConn and Mississippi State are your favorites to get to the national championship. I think teams out of the SEC, I mean, Georgia impresses me just with their ability to defend. Always like defensive teams in the NCAA tournament, and Georgia does a good job at that. Tennessee is a team I wouldn't take lightly. They're a 3 seed. They're a dangerous 3 seed. I like them a lot as well. That could sneak up and make a little bit of a run. But the reality is, you know, you got UConn and Mississippi State, and even, you know, when you look at Notre Dame, those teams are really up there and as elite caliber teams that it's going to be tough to knock those off. But I think that was what was so great about last year and seeing UConn fall is the ability to get that women's bracket up at the top into the Final Four. Get it a little bit more competitive. UConn has just kind of ran roughshod, and I think that's what you want to see if you're a women's basketball fan, is trying to see this tournament start to even itself out and start to see some other programs step up and make a run and maybe make that Cinderella story come true and come to light here in 2018.
Well, it'll certainly be interesting, and things get kicked off for Missouri on a Saturday afternoon as they take on Florida Gulf Coast, and then the winner of that one will get Stanford, the winner of Stanford and Gonzaga. All right. We'll switch over to the men next because, man, are there a ton of storylines in this one, including a lot of angst coming out of the Pac-12. You ready to talk men's hoops next?
Yep, let's do it.
All right, we will do that. Jared Sutton, SEC Network, we'll be right back. We're going to talk men's side right after this.
The Closers. Join the talk now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Thank you.
And welcome back to the Closers here alongside Jay Sparks. I'm George Young. Jarrett Sutton joining us for another segment. We've got one more segment with him. We're going to really focus in on Missouri in the third and final segment. But this time right now, let's just take a look at the men's brackets for the NCAA tournament. We started off the hour here, Jarrett, with your national champion, which is Duke. So I love Duke. So you've got that going on. What's the toughest bracket for you? As you looked at this, is there a bracket of death, the Southwest, East, or Midwest?
Yeah, so I think the South and the Midwest are the two toughest parts of the bracket. I mean, you look at the South, and I know John Calipari wasn't too happy because, you know, he's got to face Arizona mm-hmm. in the second round right out of the gate, and then, you know, he's got Virginia waiting for him. And, oh, by the way, Tennessee is a 3 seed, and they're one of the hotter teams in college basketball coming into this tournament. So I don't think the South is any walk in the park. And then I look at the Midwest. I mean, you get to the Sweet 16, you know, you're talking about basically the Champions Classic minus Kentucky. I mean, you've got KU, Clemson, possibly, or Auburn in the Michigan State and Duke following in that night game. And I got, you know, Duke and Michigan State. The winner of that, to me, is my national champion, because I think Michigan State can win it all. They have all the pieces. And then Duke has this man named Marvin Bagley, who is one of the most dynamic players in college basketball up there with DeAndre Ayton. So I think those two sides of the bracket with the Midwest and the South are the two toughest regions by far. And then I look at the West and the East. I mean, those two brackets, to me, I look at Nova and Xavier as your first 1 seeds out. And I think, obviously, Xavier, I think most people would have Xavier out first out of the 1 seeds. I think there's some good teams on the west side of the bracket with Michigan and North Carolina. I think North Carolina has a chance, and Gonzaga with Mark Few. They were in the Final Four last year in national championships. So there's a good side of that bracket as well. But I'll give it to the South and the Midwest, the two toughest sides of the bracket to get through.
Okay, listen, all this talk about Sweet 16 and everything is great and all, but we got to get all of the Mizzou fans off the ledge here. Is Penn going to beat Kansas? Come on, this can happen, right? We're all finally in on this, right?
Jarrett? See, you drove him away with that question.
I don't think I did. I think
there we go. There we go. I lost you guys there for a second.
Okay. Well, it was a silly question anyway.
It wasn't
ahead and
a silly.
Ask it again.
I wanted to leave Mizzou fans just kind of on edge there.
Something about Quakers and a fake mascot.
Listen, I mean, we got to know whether Penn's beating Kansas, because this has got to happen, right?
Well, yeah. So most people are really comparing Penn to the '85 Celtics at this point. I mean, I feel like anytime we're talking about Penn, it's, oh, they're so great, and they are good. I mean, it's a different type of 16 seed. There is actually a guy that I had a conversation with this morning who's a guy I honestly trust when it comes to basketball, a very smart guy, into the analytics side, and he usually picks his bracket pretty solid across the board, and he actually has 10 beating Kansas. And I think that to me kind of caught me off guard. If he's saying it, I'm starting to believe a little bit, but I'll just say this. If Kansas loses to Penn, I will officially be able to put Norfolk State behind me.
Amen.
A lot of people love.
I will put it to bed.
I'm sorry. Norfolk State. I don't remember that one. Anyway, all right. So, interesting aspect of the fallout from the selection. I mean, it's 64 plus the four, so the total is 68 plus the first four that are going to play open up tonight. I found it really interesting, Louisville, Oklahoma State, USC. Those are three of the teams that are connected to the FBI Sneakergate investigation. In fact, USC now sets the NCAA record for being the highest RPI-rated team to ever be left out. Who has the best argument that, hey, we got screwed?
Oh, I think Oklahoma State. You look at Oklahoma sneaking in as a 10 seed. Mm-hmm. I thought they'd be in the play-in game. If the play-in game, I thought they might be on the outside looking in. I mean, Oklahoma State, I don't know if you guys got a chance to hear Dick Vitale, and I primarily never agree with Dick Vitale, but I thought what he said about Oklahoma State was spot on. I mean, it's a team that beat Kansas twice. I know they ended up losing to Kansas in the Big 12 tournament, but they beat Kansas twice. They beat Oklahoma. They beat West Virginia at West Virginia. And, you know, you're talking about conference wins and quality wins and how they were playing at the end of the year. And I know this committee was looking at the whole body of work, but Oklahoma State, I think, was way more deserving than Oklahoma. So I would say Oklahoma State as being the primarily the main team that I thought would get in. I had them in after they beat Oklahoma on Wednesday night. I thought they'd be in, and they were left out. So that's the one team I thought, yeah, I mean, USC has definitely a conversation to be had there, but I'll give it to Oklahoma State. I was shocked that they didn't make it in.
How much of that did come out of the FBI investigation and the fear of the NCAA going, man, we'd hate to have to vacate another title?
Well, I think it's definitely got to be a part of the discussion. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can just write that off. I don't think it's everything, but I do think people are human. They're creatures of habit, and I think what's gone on around the FBI this season has been unprecedented in regards to college basketball and the coaching scandal. It's really been fascinating to just kind of see it play out, and it's still playing itself out. I mean, there's still a long way to go in this thing. So, yeah, I do think there's something to be said for it, that I'm sure the committee had those discussions and really looked into that. But the reality is they also put Trae Young and Oklahoma into the NCAA tournament, and I thought it was specifically only because of Trae Young and the hype that's been around him all season.
Okay, and that was my next question, was how much of Oklahoma getting to the tournament was the season-long buildup by all of the networks and all the media coverage about one guy, Trae Young, regardless of what happened to that school, because from the middle part of January on, because the middle part of January, they were a 3 seed, and they fall all the way down to almost a play-in game.
Yeah, so they're losers of, I think, 8 of their last 10.
Yeah.
And when I saw them in Kansas City last week against Oklahoma State, I mean, they looked dead. They looked like they wanted no part of competition. It was pretty much Trae Young shooting shots. He played okay in the game. I saw him play against Wichita State earlier in the year, and I thought he was, as advertised, he was great. And their team was pretty good. And now, I don't even know if they like each other. I mean, it was a bizarre showing. Their bench had zero energy. It didn't have any enthusiasm. It looked like a team that was deflated, defeated, and that wanted to hit spring break and be done with the season. And now, you know, I saw them celebrate making the tournament, and they got in. And I kept thinking, do they really want to be in? Because the way they played in Kansas City, it looked like they were done. Mm-hmm. And Oklahoma State played with a ton of fire and passion. And it was that to me is still bizarre. I think it's the most shocking part of this bracket. I think, all things considered, even when you were watching the selection show, I mean, the selection show was terrible. It was a horrible display of, you know, NBA guys trying to talk about college basketball teams. And then to see how the bracket played out was almost just as bad. So this was kind of a black eye on the whole process with getting this NCAA tournament right.
All right, well, if George...
You feel better?
Do I feel better?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel
okay.
A little better.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Yeah, we got that off my chest.
Okay. Yeah. Good.
All right. Jared Sutton from the SEC Network with us. And listen, Jared, if George gives you a big fistful of my money and says you got to put it on a double-digit seed to make a lot of noise, where are you going with my money?
So I like San Diego State, honestly, to beat Houston. I think they match up well also with Michigan. That's a team that might be able to sneak out of the first weekend with a couple of upsets. They are an 11 seed. They're a 22-win team, and they have good guard play. I've seen them a couple times. I kind of like their matchup. I have Loyola Chicago in an upset. That's a team that beat Florida, that Mike White said was a team that guarded them and defended them better than anyone all year. So Loyola Chicago is a team you can't sleep on either. I mean, that's a 28-win team, and they're very good. So some of these teams that do fall in that double-digit category, I like. I did not have New Mexico State beating Clemson. I think Clemson will get by, but I know a lot of people like New Mexico State. They like that team as well to get off that line in the 12-5 game. So I would really circle the 11-6 matchup and the 12-5 matchup out of the Midwest as really interesting matchups to look at. And, hey, if you want to take a run and throw your money in an upset, those would be the two I would pick.
All right. You mentioned that Xavier would be the first one out as a 1 seed. Typically, you do not get 3. You very rarely, if ever, get all 4. You sometimes just get 2. Who are your 2 1-seeds in there? Because you got Duke winning it. Are we down to just 1 number 1 seed getting to that final 4?
Yeah, I have 1 1-seed getting to the final 4. I have Arizona coming out of the South.
Okay.
I have Arizona beating Virginia. Look, Virginia's defense is tough. They just lost one of their better players in the NCAA tournament. That's going to be tough for them. But I like their team, and I think that Arizona's got a shot with DeAndre Ayton and Alonzo Trier and Sproul, Atkins. I mean, they're pretty studly team with the guys that can really fill it up. I like Arizona. I like North Carolina to get to the Final Four as well. And then I also have Duke and then Villanova as my one seed and my lone one seed getting to the Final Four.
So Villanova. Okay. All right. You know, as I look at their bracket, was that bracket for them more treated like the overall number one seed as opposed to what Virginia got?
Yeah. Yeah, I absolutely agree. I mean, the way that this bracket, even you know, I hate to say this, but looking at the Midwest, Kansas won their Big 12, you know, regular season outright. They won their conference tournament, and then they get a one seed. And I guess, okay, you give them the Midwest, but then you put Michigan State and Duke into their side of the bracket, which is really good. And then, look, if they do get past Penn, if they face Seton Hall, Seton Hall's a terrible matchup for Kansas. It's a horrible matchup for them because they have a big that can really, really play and rebound the ball at a high level. And if Azubuike's not healthy, that's a terrible matchup for Kansas. So I don't think the committee did KU any favors. And I know that their side of the bracket is maybe a little bit easier than Virginia, but still, you got Duke and Michigan State. I know you have to get to the second weekend into the Sweet 16 Elite Eight to face them. You're only going to face one of those teams, but still, I don't think necessarily an easy pass for Kansas as opposed to Virginia too, who's sitting there looking at Creighton or Kansas State, and then they got to face Kentucky or Arizona. I mean, that's tough, and you got to face Tennessee as well in order to get to the Final Four. I think that's very tough for Virginia to get all the way to the Alamo Dome and have a chance at a Final Four to get through those teams. That's a tough split ahead.
Yeah, well, you know, there nary a tear was shed about the fact that Kansas got a tough bracket.
No, not at all.
No,
and look. Not a tear shed either that they're going to face Penn because Penn could do some damage. I'm going to be intrigued to watch that game on Thursday.
So that you're looking for that one to be the first 16 upending a one seed in the NCAA tournament ever. Okay.
And it would be a joyous occasion too. It would be a day that I'll remember for a long time. And I remember, you know, there's been so many upsets over the course of this college basketball tournament and the 2 through 15, there's never been a 1 through 16. So if that were to happen to Kansas, I would feel just fine about that.
Okay. Well, I just wrote the check for Jay, putting the money down on Penn.
Good. Good. I'm glad.
I'm behind this 100%. I am so behind this.
Well,
especially
I think we all are.
Especially if I get good odds. Let's do this.
Okay. Well, you will. It's that 16-1 thing that's never happened before. All right. There are a lot of players in the past. In the last question here, this segment, just kind of a name to watch. You had like Shabazz Napier, Kemba Walker, UConn, their two titles. They're also, by the way, now looking for a new head coach as they parted ways earlier this week with Kevin Ollie. Who's the guy that you kind of look, you want to look at as a kid that he can load his team up on his shoulders, he can carry it the whole way, somebody like maybe a Colin Sexton. We talked about Trae Young a little bit, but maybe even DeAndre Ayton. Who's that guy to keep that one eye open for going? If he gets hot, this team can go a long way.
So I think for Villanova, it's Jalen Brunson. I would circle that name as a name. You know, he's got Mikal Bridges, who's a first-round talent, on his side as well. Omari Spellman's a big man, so they have some pieces. But I Jalen Brunson's one of the smartest guards in the country. He is tough as nails. He's experienced. I like Jalen Brunson. I think Marvin Bagley comes to mind. You know, he's a guy that had two consecutive 30-point, 15-rebound games in the ACC tournament. He's a guy that can put a team on his back, and, oh, he's got Grayson Allen next to him, and he's got a lot of pieces around him as well. So I like those teams a lot. And those players, DeAndre Ayton, obviously, he also has some pieces around him. Alonzo Trier, as I mentioned earlier. So those teams come to mind because they have one player that can take over a game on both ends of the floor in multiple ways, and then they have pieces around them. So that's why Arizona, Duke, and Villanova are really three teams you can really rest assured that could take them. I don't think a team like Oklahoma or Alabama that just has one consistent player, for lack of, you know, I guess with Trey, yeah, somewhat inconsistent at times, but he's very productive. For Colin Sexton, Alabama, I mean, that was the Colin Sexton show in St. Louis when Alabama made that run, was able to beat Auburn. I mean, Colin Sexton was fantastic, and he's got to score close to 30 points for them to have a chance at winning a game. That's why I don't really like Alabama unless John Petty and Dante Hall make an impact, and Dont'a Hall got hurt. We'll see how he fares coming back from injury. But I just don't put a lot of emphasis or a lot of weight on a team when they just have one guy that you can consistently count on. You got to have multiple pieces if you're going to make a run at the NCAA tournament.
All right, Jarrett Sutton, SEC Network. We're going to talk Missouri next. You ready to don the black and gold and get out the pom-poms and noisemakers?
I'm ready. Special ride here for Missouri coming up.
It definitely has the potential for it. Jarrett Sutton, SEC Network. We're going to talk Mizzou next. They're back in the tournament, first time after a five-year absence, and there's some excitement. And as typical with Missouri, there is a lot of trepidation.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Can't do one shining moment just because.
Not yet.
Yeah, well, too often Missouri's in the wrong set of highlights for that puppy. This one happens to be called Dreams Come True, so we will see what happens. Jarrett Sutton, SEC Network, part of the dream came true. Missouri back in the NCAA tournament, first time in 5 years. As you look at this right off the bat, your first inclination, how long is the stay in the NCAA tournament for the Missouri Tigers?
Well, it's tough to predict. I have them beating Florida State. I have them advancing to Xavier. Now, in my bracket, I do have Xavier advancing. I will say that I have that just if in case, you know, Jordan Barnett is not playing, because Jordan Barnett has to play if we're going to have a chance to beat Xavier. You got to have another body against a team of their caliber, mm-hmm. and a shooter, a guy 6'7". So I have Xavier advancing past the opening weekend. But, you know, this Missouri team is super dangerous at 8, because if Michael Porter is playing at a Michael Porter caliber, you know, even if he's at 75-80% and can give this team 18 points and 8 rebounds and can be productive and help this team take care of the ball late, make free throws, handle the ball with pressure, that to me bodes well for Missouri. If Michael's playing at a high level, and if Jonte and Cassius and Jeremiah and Kevin Purrier follow suit, Missouri's got a really good chance to get out of this opening weekend. You know, like I said, I think if Jordan Barnett comes back and plays in the Xavier game, their chances of winning that game go up to another level, because they have to have Barnett against a guy like Trayvon Blewett and Kaiser Gates and Najee Marshall of Xavier, who are terrific athletes who can shoot it. You know, a guy like Trayvon Blewett has the quickest release in college basketball, in my opinion, and can shoot Missouri out of the game. But outside of Trayvon Blewett, there's really not a go-to guy that scares me with Xavier. And with Missouri, there's multiple guys that I think could take over. And Jonte and Michael and even Barnett or Cassius if they get hot. So I honestly like Missouri's chances against Xavier, but it all depends on if Jordan plays and if Missouri shows up and plays their brand of basketball against Florida State. They've been inconsistent. It's almost as if what team shows up. Is it the team that showed up against Arkansas at home, or is it the team that showed up against Georgia? They cannot have a half where they show up flat, where they just don't play for 20 minutes. They did that against Illinois. They did that against Ole Miss. They've had signs of that. If they can play a solid 40-minute game, they will advance past Florida State. I'm confident that they'll beat Florida State. But then when you look at Xavier, tough matchup. They got to have Barnett to win that game.
Jarrett, you know, for everything that Konzo Martin has done this year, and it's been immense. I mean, I put him up there with the best coaches in the nation, and the job he's done with the adversity he's faced. If there's 7 minutes left against Florida State, 6 minutes left against Florida State, and Florida State is up a fair margin, is there a point in time where Konzo Martin, for everything he's done this year and all the team and everything else he's built, where he just says, let's just give the ball to Michael and just see if he can get us out of this?
I would say yes and no. I mean, I think, yeah, you want to give the ball to Michael and let him make plays, but at the same time, I think this team is bad when the ball sticks and they try to get into ISO play. And honestly, I don't think Michael Porter catching the ball in the low block and have everybody else standing benefits Missouri in any way. I think Michael can go draw contact and get to the line. But I think Michael needs to be out on the wing facing the floor, either beating it with the pass or beating it with the dribble or shooting over guys. That's a good recipe for Missouri. And I like Michael's ability to take over a game, but I also don't want to go away with what brought Missouri success, and that's throwing the ball inside to a guy like Jeremiah or Jonte, or spacing the floor, pick and pop, have the ball in Tashus's hands, let him be able to create and get some more offensive flow instead of going through the 8-minute stretches where they don't get a bucket and they're looking for a desperate either foul to get to the free throw line or just to see the ball go through the net. They sometimes make it harder on themselves, and I think that has to do sometimes with emphasizing throwing the ball to one player and then letting him go do and create. And although there's times when that is good, there's also times where it works against what's brought you success. And I think the success for Missouri is ball movement, space the floor, pick and pop, pick and roll, get more opportunities and get more player movement and ball movement to get yourself in rhythm.
Florida State allowed Louisville to shoot 62% from beyond the arc and still only lost by, I think, 4 or 5 points in that in the ACC game where they went one and done in the tournament. Missouri lives by the three, and at times they die by the three because they don't like to work inside. Shot blockers for Florida State, if you're Jeremiah Tillman, if you're Jonte Porter, if you're Michael Porter Jr., who seemed to be a step and a half slow in the game against Georgia, how do you counter guys that are shot blockers for Florida State and still keep your not only your confidence but your offensive flow going?
Well, I think for Jeremiah Tillman and Jonte, the biggest key in this game, it's kind of ironic that it's going to come down to this, but they have to stay out of foul trouble and they have to play smart. They cannot afford in this game to pick up cheap fouls. If that really, really hinders Missouri's chances of beating Florida State if they get in foul trouble. They don't have the bodies. They don't have the depth. And quite frankly, Florida State knows that, and they are going to attack Missouri. It's a huge game for the guards, first off. I know the conversation around the bigs and you know, trying to go at a shot blocker and not getting your shot blocked is getting into the body of a big, finishing, using the glass, going through contact, not avoiding the contact. But I'm more so concerned with the defensive end.
Okay.
Because I don't want any fouls on Jeremiah and Jonte, and to do that, you have to have great ball pressure. You have to heat up the ball. Jordan Geis and Cassius Robertson, those two guys have to limit dribble penetration. That is so important because if they get beaten off the dribble, it puts Jeremiah and Jonte in a terrible spot. And Jeremiah sometimes can be overly aggressive, and that's when he picks up cheap fouls. And that is what you got to stay away from. And you touched on it. You know, when Florida State played Louisville in the ACC tournament, they got smacked. They got hit in the mouth right out of the gate. Missouri's got to do that. They have to start a game where they shoot it well, where they're not playing catch-up, where they're the aggressors, where they have the momentum. That would be a great, great thing for Missouri. If they came out the first 5-10 minutes and took ownership and took a hold of this game, that to me says a lot because I think Florida State's a team that will die. If you hit them and strike them, they have tendencies to just back off and let off the gas, and they're defeated. If they have some hope, especially in a tournament like this, if they're in the game or have somewhat of a lead and start believing, that's when this gets tight. And I don't like Missouri late in games when they're tight because they sometimes make mental mistakes where they have unforced turnovers. So that is the biggest dynamic of this game is the foul trouble piece and then also just being smart and taking ownership and getting it off to a good start in this game.
You mentioned early on about Michael Porter Jr. that he can take over a game. That's the greatest asset, but it also can be the greatest liability of a guy that can take over a game like that. Is there so much hype around him and appearing in the NCAA tournament that it's almost impossible that he could live up to the expectation regardless of how much he can take over a game?
Well, I mean, I think it's important for Michael to not get caught up in the expectation. Mm-hmm. I mean, that to me is it's all noise. It's something that you control. You know, you're about playing with your teammates. You're playing with your brother. You don't need to make this game any bigger than what it is. And I think that's really important. You don't want to get caught up in what's going on around you. You want to focus on the task at hand, the opponent that's in front of you. It's a one-game sample size, so it's tough, which is why I was really hoping Michael could get back by Vanderbilt or by Arkansas so he could get some time. Now he's only got one game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's still in a tough spot, and now you don't have Jordan Barnett. So it's just constant with this team. They're always hit with adversity. It's that's kind of been the theme of the season. But they've also responded to adversity well. And so that's why I really I think a guy like Michael and his basketball IQ and the pressure sometimes that's on him, I know he hears it, but I also think he's, you know, a kid that's comfortable in his own skin that knows that he's going to play his butt off. And I give him a ton of credit that he came back and played in that Georgia game and competed when he really wasn't at full strength. You could see it. He was rusty, And game speed is different than just stationary shooting. You know, it's a totally different type of adrenaline. And this NCAA tournament is going to be a different type of adrenaline. And he'll feel that. But he's a strong enough kid. He's such a talented weapon that if he just gets going, if he gets a little bit of confidence and gets some success early, that to me is going to open up the floodgates where I think he could really take over a game. So I think the upside for Mike to really take over this tournament is high, because I think the bar is starting to drop a little bit after that Georgia game. So maybe he can let go of the expectations and just play his game and not worry about anything else.
Jared, as you look at this bracket, if everything works out for Mizzou, where you do take care of Florida State, Jordan Burnett comes back, you can take care of Xavier. The ghost of Christmas Past might be waiting with Mark Few and Gonzaga. J. Will 3 maybe taking the court against his former team. I mean, is that something? I mean, you and Sam and everybody at Rock M and anywhere else that you share your basketball opinions, I mean, that's got to be something to you know, the bookend of this Mizzou basketball saga of the past 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be interesting to see J3. He's had such a great career at Gonzaga. I think it would be fitting to face Missouri in the NCAA tournament. Obviously, a totally different team at Missouri than the one J3 was on when he was at Mizzou, and things are a lot different. J3's had a terrific career at Gonzaga and a ton of success. It was a great move. There's, like I always say, there's reasons to transfer, and J3 transferred for the right reasons, and that's why he's had success. In a game like this, though, I mean, if Missouri can get Jordan Burnett back and compete and beat Xavier, I like their chances against Gonzaga, too. I think it's a good matchup for them. I think Missouri's got shooters that can get hot from outside, and Gonzaga has one primarily knockdown shooter. They're more of an interior type of team. J3's a good rim protector. He's a good shot blocker, but Jeremiah Tillman's motor and Jontay Porter, his ability to step out and his ability to take over games and score at a high level on limited shots, that to me benefits Missouri. So that's, again, it's why Missouri is such a dangerous 8 seed, and I'm not trying to be biased with this opinion, but you get the number one player in the country back. If Mike is playing at a full strength and you get Barnett back and you can get out of this first weekend, because you look at the NCAA tournament, it's a two-game tournament. You don't want to look any farther ahead than the first weekend and then the next week, and you just kind of keep moving on and on. But you got to take care of what's at task, and that's Florida State. And then if you get past Xavier, I like Missouri against Gonzaga, and then that sets up possibly North Carolina or Michigan down the road. Right. But again, down the road, I like Missouri and just how they have weapons that can take over games if they get hot and if they play their brand of basketball.
Jarrett Sutton, SEC Network, and on Twitter at Jarrett T. Sutton. Rapid fire as we wrap this up in the last couple of minutes, all right? Most important player for the Missouri Tigers will be?
Michael Porter.
The most important factor for the Missouri Tigers moving on will be?
Free throw shooting.
Ooh, okay. I would have said turnovers, but okay. All right, that's you. All right. Most important stat line to look at for Missouri?
I would say field goal percentage.
Most important defensive effort needs to come from whom?
Jeremiah Tillman.
Okay. And finally, how far will the Missouri Tigers get? They will get Jordan Barnett back on Sunday if they win on Friday. So how far will this Missouri Tiger team go in the NCAA tournament?
I think they will get to, I could see them getting to the Elite Eight. I really could. If Michael's at full strength. Again, predictions are tough to make with this team because they're so hot and cold.
Yep.
But if Michael Porter is playing at a Michael Porter level, this team has all the ability to go to the Elite Eight.
All right. There you go. Jarrett Sutton, SEC Network. Thank you much for the time, man. I really appreciate it. I know it was extended time, but, man, we haven't had an opportunity to talk about this on an annual basis like some teams have.
That's right.
So thank you for the time, sir. I do appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. You are very, very welcome. Jarrett Sutton, SEC Network. All right. There you go. Elite Eight possibility.
True.
Yeah.
True.
So thanks to our guest today. Really do appreciate it. Head coach Gina Fogue, Missouri Tiger softball, and also Jarrett Sutton, the whole hour here talking about the NCAA bracket. We're going to really break it down, dive deep into it tomorrow. Bill Conley from Rock M Nation and hour number two. Tomorrow also Gabe Diarmond from PowerMizzou.com And we'll do our Cougar Coaches Corner tomorrow as well. If you missed anything on the show today or you want to go back and listen to Jared again, check out the podcast page. That'll be up here in about a half hour, 40 minutes or so at KFRU.com, KLIK1240.com. Once again, congratulations to former Missouri head softball coach Aaron Earlywine. He is now the athletic director for Jefferson City High School. So congratulations to him. Jay Sparks, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Until then, please be careful out there.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.